WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the student section. It has been a minute for this program. My name is Tanner Thompson. Thanks for tuning back in. As of right now for today, it's just going to be me for the foreseeable future, at least. But we do have a lot to talk about, as it has been a while. First, I'm going to start off with probably one of the bigger questions in all of Alabama football, the defensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator replacements. As we all know, Pete Golding, Bill O'Brien both left the building officially. Pete Golding going to Ole Miss, and I believe Bill O'Brien going to the Patriots as an analyst type of position. But that being said, a lot of people, they're pretty polarizing figures in the world of Alabama football. Maybe not polarizing, maybe just hated figures, honestly. But regardless, it's time to move on from them, and I think everyone's relatively excited about that, probably including, actually, well, I shouldn't say including Saban, but who knows? Anyway, so let's see. I've got about six guys, three offense, three defense, that I think are probably the highest candidates for really potentially taking over this job. First, this is my favorite hire just overall by far, Glenn Schumann. He was an undergrad at Alabama. Excuse me. Well, for better context, he is a co-defensive coordinator at Georgia, and he is the inside linebackers coach there as well. Now, we all know how good that Georgia defense was. I mean, past 2 years, elite defense. And they've developed some of the better defensive players we've ever seen go into the draft. I mean, talk about Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean. All of those guys are going to be playing high-level football probably for a long time. Now, Glenn Schumann, he was an undergrad at Alabama. I believe he was also a graduate assistant for there for a little bit as he was leaving. But when Kirby Smart left, he, we're not going to say stole, but we're, you know, he took him with him to the University of Georgia and obviously had faith in him, as Saban did when he was here. And he really turned him into a, I'm not going to say turned him into, but he's turned into a really strong defensive coordinator. Now, he is probably my favorite hire just because, again, the quality of the defense, it's hard to argue with. I mean, think about everybody that's gone through there and what they did to some of these teams. Like the Georgia-Tennessee game, that was, everybody was looking forward to that. Tennessee had been rolling over people offensively, and then Georgia came in, and that game was not what we expected at all. Everyone thought that was the one of the highest anticipated college football games in a long time. And even then, Georgia, not shut down, but they handled Tennessee that game. They handled them. And they struggled against bad teams a little bit this year with those, I believe it was Mizzou and with Kent State, maybe. It was, so those, there were two games this year against clearly inferior opponents, but they really let it go down to the line. And, you know, I'm not going to exactly say it's on Glenn Schumann. You know, that'd be a little ridiculous to blame a complete, something that should have been a dominating performance on a co-defensive coordinator. But at the end of the day, he's led two phenomenal defenses. He's a great recruiter, proven worth, and he also knows Alabama's system as his time as a graduate assistant here. Again, he's my favorite hire in both categories right now, honestly, by pretty far. It just seems like the perfect hire. A guy on his way up, Alabama guy, he could really do some good things with this program because he's already proven himself. Now, the second coordinator hire that I'm a little bit iffy on, his name is Jimmy Lake. He was the former Washington head coach. He's not there anymore now. Saban has tried to hire him before. He was the defensive coordinator there with Buda Baker, Marcus Peters, Byron Murphy. He's really done a good job producing elite defensive backs. I mean, not many people have developed more high-level DBs than him. I mean, except for, you know, Alabama. Alabama's obviously produced guys like Patrick Surtain, Marlon Humphrey, Minkah Fitzpatrick, elite guys. And, excuse me. So you see that, and in college, guys who are good developers and position coaches formerly are ones you want to go after. The only question with Jimmy Lake is, you know, sure, he's, you know, developed all these elite defensive backs. The only concern is, you know, how well is he going to be able to handle controlling an entire defense? And he has been a defensive coordinator before. He's been a head coach before. So theoretically, there shouldn't really be a problem here with him really controlling a defense. So I wouldn't, in my opinion, that's the concern in most with most analysts and, you know, scouts that I've seen. But for me, I probably wouldn't be worried about that. Alabama's already done a great job with defensive backs. He couldn't hurt at all. He would honestly probably help it by a lot. All right. And moving on to the next one. This one, honestly, I'm a pretty big fan of. But Derek Ainslie, he's a former graduate assistant, Alabama native, and he is currently the defensive backs coach for the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, the Chargers, their defense is not the strongest. They've let up, but their defense is not the strongest against the run. So, for Derek Ainslie, that's not exactly, you know, it's hard to pin a poor run defense on a defensive backs coach. Now, they are good, though, against the pass. The defensive backs for the Chargers, they've honestly dealt with some pretty significant injuries this season. But regardless of that, they are 7th in passing yards allowed and 2nd in completions allowed. So that's, I mean, in terms of results, it's pretty hard to argue that. So, and honestly, I think for Saban especially, hiring a guy on the way up, the guy out of the blue, that's something he tends to do a lot. Think about it. In the past, every time you think you know what way he's going to go with the coordinator hire, it's generally somebody out of the blue. And Ainslie, he's on his way up, in a sense. Not exactly on his way up, but it would be a promotion in terms of the position. So it makes a little bit more of an attractive hire. Excuse me. And the same thing with Glenn Schumann. Glenn Schumann, he's a co-defensive coordinator, and it's still at a good school, but I don't think there's a chance that they completely hand him over to him at any time when Will Muschamp, you know, he's been with the program for a while. It's probably going to stay with Will Muschamp majority in control. And probably moving on to offensive coordinators, my dear co-host Adrian has now entered the building. Adrian, how you doing?
I'm good. Apologize for the interruption.
No worries. I have just been talking about the defensive coordinators and the offensive coordinators we're thinking about for this year. Personally, I've gone through Glenn Schumann. He's the Georgia co-defensive coordinator and inside linebackers coach. Do you have any thoughts on that, or do you have any specific guys you want to?
Yeah, I like Glenn Schumann, graduate of Alabama. You know, he's been on the coaching staff at Alabama as a GA.
Right.
Kirby Smart's co-defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I think Schumann's really good. I think Pruitt's really good.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of good ones, but I think those are the top two that Alabama should, you know, target. In a dream scenario, Alabama could get D'Amico Ryans. That would be
crazy. It's hard to imagine him coaching one of the best defenses football's seen in a long time to going to the SEC.
Yeah, no.
It would be awesome, though.
The only way you can see something like that is if behind the scenes, they're like,
yeah,
Saban's retiring in 2 years, you're going to be the coach.
Exactly. But absolutely.
I think Glenn Schumann's a great option.
Absolutely. There was one guy I kind of wanted to ask you about that I mentioned earlier, Derek Ainslie. He's the Chargers defensive back coach right now. He's an Alabama native, DB's coach for them. And the Chargers defense hasn't been phenomenal this year, but that's mainly because of the run. They have poor interior defensive linemen generally, and it just hasn't been well structured. But with Derek Ainslie, they've been 7th in passing yards allowed and 2nd in passing completions allowed. So in terms of a defensive backs coach perspective, it may be a bit of a gamble hiring a guy to, you know, completely control a defense.
Yeah, he's a really good pass defensive coach.
Right.
And Alabama, usually for the last couple of years, when we lose, it's because of pass defense.
Right.
So maybe, you know, with Nick Saban's history of his good run defenses, if he has a pass defense like that, maybe
it
could work. I think he's lower on the list, but I don't think he's a terrible.
He's lower on the list, but yeah. Glenn Schumann is the dream hire, I think.
Think it is?
For me. He's honestly my favorite coordinator on both sides that we're looking forward to.
Pruitt's really good.
Yeah.
And he's shown it at Alabama.
Yeah.
He's won a championship with Alabama and gotten to another one at Alabama.
Right.
So, for me, I think either one of those hires or A-plus hire.
Yeah. With Saban, you never really know.
No.
We can try to predict this all we want.
I mean,
but
who would have thought Pete Golding would have been
exactly
the coordinator?
Pete Golding, it almost seemed like Nick Saban was like, hey, you know, I'm going to teach you how to be a defensive coordinator and
Golden,
kind of molded it in.
I don't think Golden might be as bad as some Alabama people want to give him credit for.
Right.
But I think what he did with what he had – like, this year's defense finished 13th.
Right.
Alabama's defense this year should have been first. And I told somebody that, and they're like, well, maybe behind Georgia. I was like, no, like, Alabama's defense had,
like, truly talent-wise should have been top three at least.
At the lowest.
Yeah.
Like, and that would be with injury. I feel like without injury, I mean, yeah, Dallas Turner, Will Anderson first. You had Will Anderson, Dallas Turner, Chris Braswell. The secondary was crazy. Jordan Battle, Brian Branch.
I'm a huge Brian Branch fan.
DeMarco Helms, Kool-Aid. Malachi Moore. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list just goes on. The backups were good. This defense, you got freshmen like Jaheim Otis.
Yeah.
And they finished 13th in defense.
Yeah. It's tough. It's because he didn't exactly construct a bad defense.
Right.
It's just about what it could have been.
And it's not the Bama standard.
Exactly. He just couldn't quite get it done.
I mean, as much as Flack, you know, I know we'll get to it here in a second with Bill O'Brien, but if you look at the two games that Alabama lost, I mean, LSU, well, the first game they lost Tennessee, you get about 52 points.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that one player has 5 touchdowns. That speaks to your defensive adjustments.
Right.
Then the second game you lose is to LSU. Well, Bryce Young gave you 3 straight scoring drives to end that game.
Yeah.
He gave you 2 touchdowns and a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
You got to win that game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I was talking about Glenn Schumann with that, how – you know, everyone before that Georgia Tennessee game, people thought going into that was one of the more highly anticipated games that we thought, and Georgia just took care of business.
Made them look bad.
Took
like
care of
good.
Business. Exactly.
Yeah, just like exactly. You're just Tennessee and we're Georgia. We're gonna show you why we're
exactly.
Georgia. We're gonna show you how
there's a difference here for a reason.
Yeah.
All right. Let's before we go to break, let's talk about OCs for a minute. Do you want to go first? Give me a good name.
Yes. I've seen a lot of Jeff Levy.
Mm.
I think Jeff Levy coming from Oklahoma, he's working under Ole Miss.
Right.
Would be a great hire. So I think Levy's really good.
Yeah.
I think with the collection of talent Alabama's gonna have next year, you know, a little uncertainty at the quarterback position between Simpson and Milroe. I lean Simpson.
Yeah.
But still, whoever the QB is, got to have a good coordinator.
Who that QB is, honestly, I think depends a lot on the hire.
I agree.
Because for me, my number one at the OC, ideally, this is only if Saban thinks Milroe is the guy.
Right.
But the recently jobless Greg Roman of the Baltimore Ravens. If we think Jalen Milroe is the guy, then we have Roydell Williams in the backfield, who I think will be RB1 next year. If I had to guess.
Jace is back.
Jace is officially back. I thought he was going to the draft. Okay, so Jace is back.
No, I think Jace is back. Jace is back.
So yeah, Jace and Roydell. Plus, if you have Jalen Milroe on the field, I think Greg Roman is a pretty great hire.
That guy
knows how to run the ball at the end of the day.
Yeah, that would be a great hire. It's like you said, if Milroe is the guy,
it feels like Greg Roman is the guy who can really mold him into an elite quarterback.
You know, there was the Kingsbury people thought, but he's
Kingsbury.
He's in Thailand. Have you seen that?
I did not see that.
No, yeah, he's looking like in Thailand with his like model girlfriend.
Wow,
and it just like took a one way like ticket to Thailand. I don't think he's coaching this year for anybody.
That's wild. I also just don't think he would take the demotion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
After being an NFL head coach, like I guess O'Brien did. But it feels a little bit different with Kingsbury for some reason. I feel like he wouldn't take the demotion to go be OC for a college
team. For Bama?
Yeah.
I feel like if he was going to take – which I feel like that's a good take. But if he was going to take the demotion, it'd probably be Bama.
Yeah,
or, you know, Ohio State. But
absolutely,
Bama would be at the top of that list 100%.
Absolutely.
I lean Levy.
Yeah.
This one's kind of, you know, I think harder to tell than the defensive coordinator position.
Yeah. I think it's a lot harder, honestly.
And I still don't think – I think when the dust settles, I don't know if Saban gets Schumann or Pruitt.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get either one of them.
Yeah, honestly, do you think it'll be not able to get him, or do you think he just goes a different direction? We won't really know, obviously, at the end of the day.
I watched an interview talking about, with Bo Scarborough, and he was talking to both, you know, coordinator positions.
Right.
Former running back for Alabama, saying that Saban's the type of guy that doesn't hire who everybody wants him to hire.
Yeah, exactly.
Who would have thought he was going to hire Pete Golden? And I don't think Bill O'Brien, like, pre-hire was, like, that high on the list of
I doubt it,
people that, you know, like, Alabama or people that the fan base and the country expected Alabama to hire. I don't think either one of those guys were the guys.
Especially after what he did to the Texans.
The personnel
decisions there, it seemed like he was pretty, you know, not desired as a coach. But
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I agree.
I think those are pretty good lists. Just to recap, I want Glenn Schumann at DC. You want Lebby, was that what you said? Or you want Lebby at
OC? I want Lebby at OC, for DC. I'm going to roll Pruitt. Another name, Bo Davis.
Who's
been a lot of places. He's been at Bama before.
Right.
All his players love him. He expects a lot out of his players. So I think that'd be a good hire, too. So
absolutely. All right. Those are our favorite coordinator hires for this offseason. Who knows if they're going to happen? They probably won't. But that'll be enough for this session. We'll be back in a few minutes with some basketball talk about the Mississippi State game last night. But for now, we will see you guys in a few minutes.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back once again to the student section. This time we're going to be talking about the Alabama-Mississippi State game from last night. Decent amount to talk about here. It was probably one of the scarier showings for Alabama this year. Aiden, got any, Adrian? God, I just called you Aiden.
You're good. That's embarrassing. You're so disrespectful. No, you're good, man. It was a close game. Honestly, I was happy that we had a close game.
Right.
I think that it's been a while since we had a close game. I
feel like we needed to overcome adversity.
I think so. We had that Gonzaga loss. I went to that game. Yeah. It was 100-90 loss.
Yeah.
Drew Timmy killed Bama. Mm-hmm. Ever since then, including last night, I think the Bama's defense has played well.
Right.
Ever since giving up 100.
Mm-hmm.
What are we now? We're 8-0 in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Every other SEC win was by double digits.
Yeah.
So when our first seven by double digits, I think that it was time for a close game. And I think it will do Alabama justice in the long run. And I was glad they pulled it out.
Right. I honestly, and again, I kind of said it earlier, the overcoming adversity, I think this team definitely needed a down big early, fight back.
And, I agree.
It obviously wasn't the prettiest game. You know, we're a far more talented team. And, you know,
way more.
There's things that went wrong with early on, defense was super sloppy.
Yeah.
Because all we do is play man-to-man. And if you're not communicating those screens well, if you're not communicating that pick and roll well, you can get torn up. There was way too many open looks in the paint.
Yeah.
I mean, like, think about in that game, how many times somebody got the ball in the paint and just had an easy dunk over, you know. That happened way too often for me. Brandon Miller, obviously phenom, kind of took his time getting into the game. Started to dominate, though, really, as the game went on. Once it gets towards, like, the mid, late second half, he really started the ball. But he took his time getting there.
A three-man show with Bama last night.
Honestly.
Yeah.
That's the thing about the offense. If shots aren't falling, which is kind of what was part of the deal last night, that shots really just weren't falling, we don't really have an offense to where you can create easy shots, if that makes sense. So if those shots they're creating on their own aren't falling, there's not many other directions we can go. And I think that's the biggest problem with this team in the future when it comes to March.
Right.
They're going to end up playing, you know, pretty elite teams.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of talented players in the roster, but you've got to have a way to get guys up easy shots. And I really don't see that much with this team.
Right. And, I mean, I didn't catch. Did Betty Ako get injured?
He was just in and out of the game.
Yeah.
Because he was in the game late. I didn't see an injury. I didn't see it.
That he was hurt. But he only had 12 minutes.
Right.
The other starters, Bradley only had 12 minutes. But Betty Ako finished with 0 and 3 boards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a 7-footer who.
He's our best 7-footer. And again,
yeah.
A big part of that game was losing down low.
That had to be his worst game of the season.
Yeah.
He usually give you 8 points, 8 rebounds. He's really solid.
Exactly.
He might be my favorite player on the team. I mean, obviously, Brandon Miller is just, he's just a freshman phenom. Yeah, he's insane.
Yeah.
I think that, I don't know if he'll win the Wooden Award. I think Edie's going to win it.
Yeah.
Or is it Eddie or it's Edie?
I think it's Edie.
It's Zach Edie.
Yeah.
7'4 guy from Purdue.
Yeah.
He's crazy too.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's 7'4. You know, he he gets off the bus with 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
15 points. But
yeah.
As far as last night, like I said, I thought it was a good win.
Yeah.
Crowd wasn't great. the crowd involvement, you know, this season has been. Mm-hmm. I think obviously a lot of it has to do with the basketball team itself and the success,
right,
being the number two team in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that on top of Alabama's football team kind of slacking this season,
definitely, you know, a nice, you know,
fans clinged on more than they would. But you'd like to think, well, that's been, you know, the number two team in the nation, that mm-hmm. people would show up and show out anyways. Miller, like I said, it was a three-man show. Miller had 13. Clowney had 13. Mm-hmm. Quinterly had the best game last night, 14 points, four rebounds, four assists.
He really started to look like himself. In that second half, he really started to look like himself.
Yeah,
again.
I think ever since that Kentucky game, he's kind of hit his stride and came back to the Quinterly that we were used to, you know, pre-ACL last season. Because
mm-hmm.
I've seen – you know, just through Twitter and being at the games, a lot of the fans have been upset with Quinterly this year.
For me, I was a little bit upset. It was just the decision making. Every once in a while, he'd be the kind of guy there's, you know, 30 seconds on the shot clock, he'd dribble up, take a, you know,
right, ill-advised shot.
Exactly.
Yeah. He did start off rocky.
Yeah.
I talked to a couple people. I was just telling them, I was like, listen, you know, he just had an ACL injury.
Yeah.
He's not, you know.
Fair.
A lot of players in the NBA, you see them, like, they have ACL injury in the NFL, and they just come back, and it looked like it doesn't happen. That's right. Not, you know, that's not normal.
It is not easy to come back from an ACL injury.
Just bounce back and just be yourself, right. Not just physically, but mentally, you know, going out there, jumping on it, passing, running.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's mentally draining. So,
yeah,
I think the more the season goes on, the better he will get, but I think he's kind of swung back to the corner we expected, that six-man bench player that's really good.
Absolutely, yeah.
Speaking of Quinterly, did you see that back and forth they had with the Auburn guy?
I did not see that. Please.
Yeah, there was I want to say it was an Auburn player. Somebody involved with Auburn was talking about, you know, they're just going back and forth, Twitter talk. It was like, y'all have a fifth-year five-star talking about Quinterly.
Yeah.
And Quinterly tweets back, we're going to beat y'all by 20. So –
oh, I can't wait for that game.
Yeah. That's going to be a good one. March 1st, Wednesday.
March 1st, man.
I'm here for that one.
Yeah, I can't wait for that game. For me, I think, honestly, another big part of why State stayed in this game, they were just – I think they just made a lot of shots.
I agree.
They just
had a better night than they usually –
exactly. They just overperformed. Yeah. They just shot well.
And they're not terrible, though.
They're really not terrible. Yeah. And that's why I hate to say overperformed, because they're not a bad team. Like, Smith had a great game.
Yeah.
And they're like, they really are a good team in general, but even like on top of that, they still shot well. Like,
I agree.
Most of the looks they made. And again, they got so many easy looks down low.
Yes.
So many.
Killed us down low.
Yeah.
And they had two guys with at least 14.
Exactly. And again, that's a big reason why we're so heavily influenced by Bediako being in and out. If he's not in, we lose. When it's Clowney and
Gurley.
Clowney and Gurley, those guys, I really just don't. They just can't really hang in the paint with good big guys. Because Smith, that dude's big. Like, he's not just tall. That dude's big.
Yeah.
And he was kind of throwing those guys around in the paint.
Clowney and Gurley are more tall than big.
Exactly.
They're not like really big.
Especially like Clowney. Clowney's a tall dude. He's a great player, but he's just not as big as you'd like him to be in the paint to hang with those guys. And that's what makes me worry, like, especially with the Purdue guy, the 7'4", it's going to be tough. If that has to be a matchup in March, you know, Bediako has to step up.
I think that he would.
He has the potential to. He's gotten better. He's also gotten bigger. Bediako.
He's really good.
He started off, I'm not going to say skin and bones, but he was a skinnier guy coming in. And it's hard for a 7-footer to be big. I'm not going to say it's his fault at all, but he really has
looked
bigger, played bigger, honestly, in the paint.
I think that him and the other four, I really think that all five of Bama's starters have a chance to be in the league.
Right.
I mean, you know, not star. I think Brandon Miller
more than anybody. He
has a chance.
If he wants to go to the league, he's going to the league.
Oh, he's going after this season.
Yeah.
But I think all five starters could be NBA players.
Right.
I mean, Sears has his nights where you're like, man, what is he doing?
I think it's the shooting with Sears sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, it feels super consistent. You can tell he knows what he's doing with the ball in his hands.
Right.
Like, he's a smart player when he's on the floor, but sometimes he just misses shots I feel like he shouldn't.
I've seen games this year where I looked at Sears like, man, what are you doing?
I don't know what we're
doing. But then I've seen games from Sears, I'm like, man, like,
exactly.
Is he the best player on the team? So
Exactly.
But with that being said, I still think Marks is an NBA player. Miller's an NBA player. I think being a 7-footer, that Bediako's an NBA player.
Now, what's that stat of, like, if you're 7 foot, you have some crazy percentage?
It's a crazy, like, it can't be 1 to 3. It might be. It's pretty high.
There's a decent
because there's
chance.
Not that many 7-footers in the world.
Not a lot of 7-footers in the world, yeah.
So I think Jaden really Bradley might be back 1 year.
I think he'll come back next year. I really like Jaden Bradley.
I do too.
I think comes back here and, like, if he has a better, bigger role with the team and they start going through him for a lot of things, I really think he could be really put up some good numbers.
Yeah, I agree.
You can kind of see it just when he has the ball in his hands and he's going towards the hoop. He feels like he's more in control than a lot of the guys on the team. That's kind of the thing with, like, Javon Quinterly also. You know, you trust him with the ball in his hands. Now, especially with this team, more than most of the other guys. Even Brandon Miller honestly had some plays last night where he had the ball. He created something himself, and he got aggressive too. Like that three with, 4 minutes left where he was a dribble pull-up and he was in the left wing.
He's clutch.
No, he's clutch. And
that block he had.
That was huge.
It wasn't offensive, obviously, but that block was crazy.
He timed it perfectly. Yeah. He timed it perfectly. And again,
he's made a lot of highlights this
year. And I think something probably a lot of teams look into with a guy like Brandon Miller, who has all the physicals.
Oh, yeah.
Looks talented in most of the game. When he starts to make big shots in, clutch time, that's, I really think, is what's going to really
set him apart.
Power rankings for these rookies.
Yeah.
But yeah, excuse me. But yeah, I think that covers a lot of that game last night. For the rest of the show, we're probably going to talk about some NFL playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about a little bit of a recap for now, and then we'll do the look ahead in the next section. What did you think about that Niners-Dallas game?
I'll be honest. And I got cowboyed. Yeah. I thought they were going to win.
Every year, man.
Every single season, it happened every year. I thought the Cowboys were going to be a little different,
right?
And they weren't. I personally believe this is, correct me if I'm wrong, this is his sixth or was this his seventh year? This is Dak's sixth year.
I believe it's his sixth.
I think we've seen enough of Dak to know that.
You've seen enough of Dak.
That Dak is, you think that's a reach?
He's a pretty polarizing guy right now. Because everyone saw the Tampa game, were like, this guy's elite.
Right.
He's finally showing it. But he was playing a pretty old defense.
I think that Tampa's got Tom Brady.
And that's it.
I think people.
Mike Evans had a few good games this year.
He had some games. I think that people, give. And it's a playoff win. But I think that game got a little more credit than it should because it was at Tampa Bay.
Right.
Tampa Bay had a losing record. They were 8-9. Tampa Bay was not a good team.
Yeah.
They were in the worst division in the NFL.
The fact that the Panthers were like 2 games away.
Exactly.
There was a very real chance the Panthers could have made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they were not a good team.
No. That division was just terrible. And Tampa Bay, I think, was probably the worst team in the playoffs.
Probably.
Them or the Seahawks, I think the Seahawks might beat them.
You think Seahawks beat them? Seahawks are a little more complete.
Well, Brady passed 66 times.
66?
They couldn't run.
66.
That team could not run for... I think Brady had, in the 17 games, 40 pass attempts. Dude, at least 14 games.
Yeah.
I mean, every week I looked up and looked at his stats.
And the funny thing is that, like, a lot of the time it still ended up in Fournette's hands because the offensive line really couldn't protect.
No.
Knows Tom Brady's not going to extend the play.
Right, no.
So he just throws it out to Lenny in the flat and hopes he can go do something.
They were not a good team.
They were simply not a good team.
And, I mean, swinging that back to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I think they played – it's between the Niners and the Eagles.
Yeah.
I can't ever decide.
Because those teams, I mean.
Those teams are so stacked. Ingles, if you take in quarterbacks, like obviously Hurts is better than Purdy. But if you just take out quarterback and look at that roster, the Niners have a Pro Bowler at every position group on the field.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, has that ever happened? That couldn't have happened that many. Maybe as before.
Sure.
Couldn't have happened that many times.
Was Miles Sanders a Pro Bowler this year? I feel like he was.
I think he's a replacement.
He's a replacement?
I think he's a Pro Bowl replacement.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, how could he be a Pro Bowl replacement if he's going to the Super Bowl? Don't replacements come from guys who can't make it? I mean, you can be injured, obviously.
I think they name the Pro Bowlers, and then they name replacements.
Gotcha.
And then
what about – okay, that makes sense.
So, like, if if they were to lose this week, right, like, I think he goes. He if okay. somebody else, because I mean, no, I don't think McCaffrey was a Pro Bowl. I'm not sure.
Because when the Pro
Bowl, but I know Devontae Smith out. Is a replacement. Like they named the replacements right. before, you know. Right. They named yep. it before.
That makes sense. But yeah, I mean, Eagles had 8 Pro Bowlers. Niners were probably close. I mean, it's hard to. Both of these teams are
They're really
so
good.
Complete.
They're really
so
good.
Complete. I mean, for me, let's. I don't want to get too much into the look ahead because we'll probably do that in the next section. So yeah. while we're still in this one, let's talk about Bengals.
Chiefs.
Bengals Chiefs. Or not look ahead.
Bengals, you want to look at Bengals Bills?
Bengals Bills. There you go. Thank you.
I was how I said, I got Cowboyed. I think that the Bills got burrowed.
Absolutely.
I just – Joe Burrow is – I mean, if you look at Cincinnati's history, mm-hmm. Cincinnati's never been that good.
Right.
They've always been a tough-nosed team. Mm-hmm. I mean, since he's gotten there, it's flipped.
Really?
I mean, they've won – what is this, their fifth playoff win since Burrow's been there? Yeah. Or fourth.
Joe Burrow.
No,
has
it's
the
their
most,
fifth.
Burrow has the most playoff wins of a quarterback in Bengals history, I believe.
Yeah, because I think they had 5 playoff wins yeah. before Burrow.
In his second season, he has.
And he has 5.
Yeah.
So
it's wild.
I've been saying for a good while that I thought he was better than Josh Allen, and that I think if anybody's on Mahomes' level, that it's Burrow. I never really got to. I know Josh Allen's talented, and but yeah. he's been living off of almost After, beating
right, exactly.
Mahomes, and Burrow. Has not lost
he has,
to Mahomes.
Literally has not lost to Mahomes.
So, which I think will change this weekend, but right. still.
Ooh, okay, we'll get into that.
Burrow's good.
That first drive.
It
bullied
was
a perfect drive. Yeah. Literally a perfect drive.
First two, they scored first two drives, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
14-0 after two drives.
It was just, like 9 first downs in the first 8 minutes or something
yeah.
like that. That's yeah. unreal. And that first drive, I mean, every run felt like it was for 10 yards.
Oh, yeah.
And every time they had, like, when they had deep third downs, they always converted.
Yeah.
And it was in the elements, too. Joe Burrow, when he with all the accuracy and all the anticipation that he had to do that in the elements, and it was really coming down in Buffalo for a little bit there.
Yeah.
To do that in those conditions is ridiculous.
If he wins this weekend, if he wins a Super Bowl this year, I know Mahomes is going to get his second MVP. He's a Super Bowl MVP.
Right. I think Burrow's top two. I'm not going to put him above Mahomes if he does that, but he's definitely top two, especially if Mahomes' ankle is bothering
him. I think right now, yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
I think right now Burrow's strong too. I think
he definitely is a strong
guy. I think he's ahead of, even with his ankle, man, that'll make him 4-0 against Mahomes, 2-0 in the AFC Championship at Kansas City in
right.
Arrowhead.
Right.
He beats Josh Allen and Mahomes back-to-back on the road.
Right. There's definitely an argument.
That's a statement.
There's absolutely an argument. Taking down those guys, and especially everyone in the league would always say Mahomes and Allen 1-2.
And
that was pretty much the consensus for most of them.
Yeah, and I think it's done. That's yeah. gotta be that take's gotta be over now.
Gotta be. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Josh Allen.
He's good.
That simply was not a good game. I mean, decision.
I think he's
wise,
overrated.
You think he's overrated? That's not a
yeah.
bad take.
I think he's a great player.
Yeah.
He's a great player,
But people were starting to treat him like a demigod.
People yeah. have when people were saying before the season that he was better than Mahomes, I'm like, no, he's not.
No, that was a little ridiculous.
That's crazy. That like, ridiculous. No, he's not better than Mahomes. He hasn't done anything Mahomes has done. I mean, and he has a team. Like
he has a good team.
He really has any excuses.
Yeah.
He has a great team. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. All right. So we're gonna go ahead and go to break for this section. We are going to talk about the rest of the playoffs, and honestly, if we have some time, probably talk about some coaching stuff in the NFL if there's been a little bit of movement there. But for now, we're going to go to the break. I will see you guys in a minute.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back again to the student section for our final segment. Thank you for tuning in to 90.7. Adrian, we got to talk about some playoff football. We did a little bit of recap last session. We're going to talk a little bit of look ahead this time.
NFC, AFC?
Yes, sir. Obviously, we've got Eagles, Niners, and Bengals, Chiefs. Two, honestly, probably the top four teams in the league.
Right. I think so. I think they're the four best teams.
There, I would confidently say they're the best four teams in the league.
Yeah. I don't think there's really a...
And it's easy to say that there are four teams left.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you could have made that argument going into the playoffs that they were the top four teams.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And that's reflected in the seeding, I believe. But anyway, let's get into the NFC game first. Niners, Eagles.
I'm going to roll Eagles. I think that the Eagles, we've talked about this being the best two teams. Mm-hmm. I told you during the break, I think if you take in every player and not just the top players, I think the Eagles have just a little bit of better roster. Mm-hmm. Not by much, but especially with Jalen Hurts, you know, at the helm, I think he's a good bit better than Brock Purdy.
He's a decent bit better than Brock Purdy.
He's a much better quarterback. Yeah, that was being a little nice.
It's to okay
Purdy.
To say that.
Yeah, he's a lot better than Purdy. So
yeah,
the better quarterback usually wins in these type of games. It's at home,
especially when everything else seems so even.
Purdy, I don't think, and I know everybody says he's a rookie and he's gonna have that moment. I think he does have that moment, but even if he plays a halfway decent game. Mm-hmm. You know that the Eagles are the first team in NFL history to have four different guys with 10-plus sacks.
Really?
Four different guys with 10-plus sacks.
I did not know they have four different guys.
Yeah, like – and Hassan Reddick and Fletcher Cox. I can't remember the other guys, but their team is just number one pass defense. Their run defense is fairly good. Mm-hmm. I think at their stadium, I think that the Eagles are going to win that game. I think they get the Purdy – and I don't think that, you know, they can beat them just running, even though they got some, you know, they got Debo, they got Kittle, they got McCaffrey.
Right.
I still think that they can load the box and send heat at him and win.
Mess him up. Yeah. I believe that. For me, I'm honestly, this kind of hurts to say because I do want to go Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith. But the Niners, I mean – they've got one of the best defenses we've seen in the NFL in a long time. Personnel-wise, it's unreal. Scheme-wise, it's unreal. Just there's just about nothing bad about it.
No. The games D'Amico Ron calls are
unreal. That cover six insane. That they run is so hard to score on. And so I think the key matchups that it's going to come down to, obviously, one is going to be Eagles offensive line, best in the league. And then you have 49ers defensive line,
best in the league. Yep.
That's going to be really interesting because it's not just one guy. I mean, if you had to boil it down to Nick Bosa, you could. But at the end of the day, it's not one guy.
No.
You got to deal with Eric Armstead. You got to deal with Joey Bosa. There are dogs on that team. And at the linebacker position, you have Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. Those guys Fred Warner is the best middle linebacker in football.
Easily.
Like, by a mile. Yeah. He's so good.
Yeah, their whole defense is crazy.
Absolutely. And I know you said the Eagles have a good run. I really don't think they have that great of a run defense. It's been all right.
It's mid.
It's a bit mid. They've got good pass
rushers. I think they're actually 15th, so I think they're really mid.
Definition of mid. Yeah. They are in the middle. But obviously the pass rush is great because Hassan Reddick, I honestly think he's super underrated. That guy doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah.
Wherever he is, he produces. Carolina last year, he was great. This year he's also been great. When it comes to running the ball, one, the 49ers, their definition of running the ball is different than I think anybody else's in the league in the sense that they're running the ball means every kind of run concept you could ever imagine
with
three different people if they wanted to who are all good at it.
Yeah.
Plus, you never know where the ball is going to start.
No. Got the best fullback in football too.
They have two of the best lead blockers in football.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that Kyle Juszczyk is a better lead blocker than Pat Ricard.
Right.
But in terms of a weapon, you have probably the best overall fullback in football.
In football. With McCaffrey.
With McCaffrey, who has an argument for being one of the best running backs.
He's got to be top five at work. I mean, who's in there? Saquon, Henry.
I'm a bit biased. I think he's top one. Former Panther.
Okay.
I'm a little bit biased there.
Yeah.
To be fair, he has, now that he's on a team that is honestly built for him, he has produced. He has been elite.
Yeah.
And he was elite before.
So
I'm going to lean a little bit Niners here just because I think.
Close game. I know you think it's close.
Last possession type of game? Honestly, it really could. I cannot wait to watch it. I think Shanahan does the same thing where he Shanahan's done a great job of making the game easy for Brock Purdy.
He has.
He's done a foot not like.
I mean, we talked about it, though. Their playmakers are just.
Their playmakers are. And it's like, that's why I say it's really, I think Brock Purdy gets a little bit overrated.
Right.
Because, I mean, the stat sheet will say, like, what was their first playoff game? It was
Seahawks. 41-23.
Exactly. He had 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. And you see that in the box score, and you're like, right. Oh my God, that's a great game.
Great game.
But then when you go back and watch the tape, he gets a rollout, hits Debo on a crosser, and then Debo runs 70 yards for a touchdown.
Exactly.
He gets C-Mac on a screen, he'll go get 30. You know what I mean?
I mean,
it's tough to.
Yeah, you got Christian McCaffrey, you got. I never pronounce the fullback's name. What's his name?
Kyle Juszczyk.
You got Juszczyk. You got Debo Samuel.
George Kittle.
Brandon Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk has really been playing well.
Who's their backup running back? Because their backup.
Elijah Mitchell.
He's good.
He was good for them last year.
He's good.
He was really good in the beginning of this year.
Their O-line is good.
Yeah.
And you got all that paired with Shanahan calling plays. It's just.
They got the best O-lineman in football on that team in Trent Williams. Yeah. Left tackle.
Their offense is. That game is very interesting. They did a top 10 players of like in the game.
Right.
Devontae Smith wasn't in the top 10. I think Fred Warner was like the number 8 player.
That's fun.
What game does he go in where he's the 8th best player, Fred Warner?
Very few. Probably none.
I honestly think that was a little low, but still, you get the point.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you want to flip to the Kansas City Bengals. Who you riding with?
So here's the deal. All signs, or not going to say all, well, actually, honestly, a lot of signs point towards Cincinnati taking it again.
I think so, too.
You have, they're coming off a phenomenal game against a good team. Against a good team that had a good defense.
All right.
They're coming off a great game.
Yep, Mahomes.
And obviously, Mahomes with the ankle injury.
Yep.
You don't know. It really affected his play last week.
He was hurt.
And every time he was handing the ball off, he would barely put weight.
He was hopping.
Exactly.
To hand off the stretch run.
Exactly. And as talented as he is, it affected his mechanics. When it affects mechanics, it affects accuracy.
All right.
It's tough.
His mobility is their team.
Exactly. His mobility is their team. What makes Mahomes so great is the fact that he can be that mobile, but his eyes are always downfield.
He's never not looking downfield.
He's unreal.
He's so good.
And so he's a different player than Burrow in the sense that, again, he creates so much time for that team. Yeah.
But, and I think Burrow's really good at creating time, but Mahomes is just.
Well, the thing is with Burrow, I honestly. What makes him good is that it's not that he's creating time, it's that he gets the ball out. He's so decisive.
Oh, yeah. I think he can create time.
Exactly.
Though,
if
he
has really to. Did. Like in this game, because
they don't have that type of O-line.
The O-line coming in was. The O-line did impress me.
They played good against the Bills.
Shout out.
Really good.
Jackson Carmen, I believe his name is, the tackle, he balled.
They played great.
He played a huge role. They were able to run the ball down the throat.
Yeah, I don't think they would have did that had Vaughn been there.
Exactly.
Though,
probably not.
That, I mean, he wasn't there looking
up Jackson Carmen.
Oh, yeah. A great game. Don't want to take your shine away. But
if Jonah Williams was in that game, Von Miller probably would have had 3-4 sacks.
Yeah.
But anyway.
On him alone.
Not to take away from Jackson Carmen. But again, Bills kind of got unlucky with that at the end of the day. But with this matchup, a lot of signs point towards Bengals. You have the 3 matchups before all have gone the Bengals' direction. It's so hard to call. Just like the NFC game.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's what's going to make this weekend so great.
Yeah.
It's going to be 2 unbelievable games.
Yeah.
At least I hope. Not that jinx it. But.
All signs point to Cincinnati?
I'm going to say all signs point to Cincinnati.
That's why you're going Kansas City.
Which is kind of why I want to go Kansas City. The questions started, after that game, the questions start to come up of, who's QB1 in this league? Because, again, Joe Burrow played an unreal game. We kind of talked about it earlier. You said you were creating an argument for Joe Burrow being number 1.
If he beats Mahomes this game, 4-0.
Right.
3 at Mahomes' house.
3 at Mahomes' house.
If he wins,
that's tough to get over.
That's bad. I know he's hurt, but I think Mahomes, I think they're going to win. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game.
I really do think the Chiefs coming to this game, their offense is so well designed.
Dude, it's crazy.
You just never know what you're going to see.
No.
Do you remember the ring around the Rosie thing they did?
Yeah, they have so much in their arsenal. It's just
exactly.
I mean, they're just out there. People thought that they would take a step back. without Tyreek. If
I don't think people realize how much of a guru Andy Reid is.
I don't either.
Andy Reid, before Mahomes, he's been good. He's been so good.
Been great. Exactly. But when you insert Mahomes, it took it up another notch.
Exactly. He's the only I don't know if you remember the stat, but he's the only coach in history to have two Pro Bowl tight ends on his team.
That's it. Wow.
Two. Yeah. Only coach in history. And that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
To have two
perfect
on
sense.
The same team, like, that's crazy. Unreal. And again, we see that reflect when we're watching the game. There's almost always two tight ends in the field, with Kelce obviously being the leader, and he's the most elite tight end in the league by far. Mark Andrews has a conversation, but he makes it less far.
I think that I genuinely could make you an argument that Travis Kelce might be the best player in NFL. That might be a hot take, but
in terms of like comparison to his position,
no,
just the best player overall in the NFL.
Kelce's pretty good.
You're gonna say he's better than Patrick Mahomes?
I don't know if he's. I don't think he's the best. I don't want to.
But there's an argument.
I think that there's a fair argument that he is the best player overall, regardless of position. He's really good.
Right.
He's really good.
That's fair. I don't hate that at all. But yeah, part of me. I'm going to put all my biases out on the table just to, you know, let everyone know what goes into my decision making. My entire dad's side of the family is all die hard Kansas City. Die hard. And I mean, honestly, like, everybody in Kansas City is die hard Kansas City.
Rolling with the Chiefs.
You go into any store. It doesn't matter if it's remotely related to sports. There is a framed picture of the Chiefs schedule of that year.
They're rolling.
Guarantee you. Everybody in that city is rolling with the Chiefs. And one that kind of like, that's one of those things that makes it easier to root for that team.
Yeah.
When you know they have such a strong fan base.
Their fans are nice, though.
They're great fans.
Yeah.
Oh, they're
great
fans. I have no problem with it. I have to legally say that. Right. If I say they're bad fans, I'm in deep trouble. But yeah, I think it's pretty hard to not root for the Chiefs this game. Actually, that's probably not
Give me
true.
Your score predictions and then Super Bowl winner.
Okay. Score prediction, Eagles, Niners. Lord, I don't know. I want it to be in like the mid-20s, 30s range.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where it ends up stacking up with the caliber of these defenses
and
the caliber of the offenses. I think it's about where it goes. I'm going to say 27 for the Eagles. And I'm going to say 31.
So 31-27, Niners.
31-27, Niners.
I'm going to go 24-13. Eagles.
I like that a lot.
I think the Eagles get at Purdy.
Yeah.
I don't think Jalen Hurts, I don't think they go crazy, but I think they just play, you know, turnover-free football and have a good day. I think they force a couple turnovers, maybe get close to the end zone.
I like that.
Then I'm going to roll AFC Championship.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Chiefs. I'm going to say it's a high-scoring game.
Right.
I'm going to say Chiefs 38-34.
I like that. I really do think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Yeah. I think it's in the 30s. I think both teams get in the 30s.
Right. I think, good Lord, the more I think about it, the more my decision wants to change. But,
yeah.
Man. You know what? Let's have some fun. This is a sports show. There's two people. We should have differing opinions. We should make it interesting.
Rolling Bengals?
I think I'm going to roll Bengals.
Score?
I'm going to...
Gotta be close. Last position.
Gotta be close. The only reason I lean Bengals is because I just think they have a few more ballers on defense.
Yeah.
I think they have a few more guys there. Chiefs are not great against the run.
Their defense is not great.
It's been pretty suspect. And I love Spags. He's a great coordinator. But it's like them against the run has not been great. And
this is the one year I think he's done maybe more with less. I don't think their defense
He's done a lot more with a lot less, in my opinion. So I think... I'm going to say Bengals get it. I'm going to say they do it. I kind of want to say, 38 is too high. I'm going to say, I don't want to use 31 again now. I'm going to go 35. There's going to be a field goal in there somewhere, but I'm just going to try to get close. I'm going to say 35 Bengals.
Chiefs.
And I'm going to say Chiefs. 31.
35, 30. That's a good score.
I think that's going to be
in that range.
In the ballpark.
In that, 3-4 point win.
Exactly.
And
I don't think it's going to be a touchdown.
No.
It's got to be less than a touchdown.
Yeah, I think
it's
going
to be a high scoring game.
I think I'm going to give my Super Bowl pick.
Absolutely.
I think that the Chiefs are going to win it.
Who do you think they play?
I think they play the Eagles. Sorry, no, you're good. You're good. Yeah. Chiefs, Eagles. Right. And I think that Mahomes wins a close one.
Right.
I think Eagles are a better team, but I think Mahomes is
he's just gonna
he's just Mahomes.
Be that guy.
I think he's gonna do something That's Mahomes
fair.
Like.
That's fair. All right. I'm gonna go. Obviously, based on my prediction. Wow, do we end up having two opposite predictions? Is that how it's gonna work?
Yes.
Out?
You
wow.
pick nine. Yes.
I pick Niners. Okay. So yeah. So I'm the way my prediction goes. I'm gonna say Niners, Bengals, obviously, and I'm gonna say. Honestly, I'm going to say Niners. I'm going to say Niners only because I love that defense so much. And based on how the Bengals are built, I think because of how good that defense is, especially in pass,
right.
in pass coverage, I think they do a better job than any team has against the Bengals this year.
Yeah.
Because, again, the Bengals kind of struggled against the Ravens, except the Ravens do have a great defense.
They do have a good defense.
The Ravens, they have a great secondary, and they kind of struggled against them.
Yeah.
But the Niners should have a way better offense than the Ravens did.
Way better. Yeah.
Way better.
Yeah. So, not even same ballpark.
So I'm going to go Niners over the Bengals for the Super Bowl. Did you give a score prediction?
Now let's wait till the
game. Let's wait till next week. I don't know if I can try to do that right now. But yeah. All right. That'll be it for this week. I guess we should talk about some coaching movement next week, but I'm sure we'll fit that in somehow. But for now, this has been a good show. Thanks for tuning in to 90.7. Please see you guys next week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.